listening to another, joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We appreciate all the people who are taking the time out this beautiful Sunday afternoon to listen to a program where we are intent on just letting God's Word give you the answers to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. We are trying so diligently to service so many of you around the Tri-County area in your quest to learn more about God's Word, to learn more about how God wants you to live in this lost and dying world, and to let his light shine through us. And we appreciate all those seeking and diligent hearts who are out there and paying attention to the program, those consistent listeners that we have, and people who are the literally thousands who have signed up for our correspondence courses, and the hundreds who have gone through in the courses, and we really do appreciate that. And so here today on the program, we are having the lines open as always. This is a live call-in and question and answer program. To call in your questions is 308-9564, 308-9564. To call here at the station for your question to be asked, you can have it written down and sent in to us, and we will answer it on there. Or you can ask your question over the air. And when you ask that question over there, if you feel like that, there's only two things that we ask for you. One, that you would turn your radio down so that there's no confusing echo or anything. That is always the case if you have your radio up too loud. And also, secondly, just to give your name that we can be polite and address you by name. So those are the only two things we ask if you request to ask your question over the air. So once again, that's 308-9564 to call in your question here at the station, 308-9564.
Now, there's a second way that you can communicate with us if that is so desired, and that is if you have a cell phone, you can text us your question at 725-9283. Now, so if you have a cell phone and you would like to text us your question, then go ahead and use that means as well. Either way, we're waiting on your questions today, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Now, just because you may live locally does not mean people that live out of town do not have an opportunity to be able to join us, because they too can join us via the internet. If you have a friend and that is out of town or a relative, they can also join us right now as we go to the Bible for the answers. They can go to the website, which is at www.biblealone.com. And if you call them and let them know that they can hit the live stream button on that page, then anywhere they're at in the world, they can join us for the program right now. Now, if you have a smartphone, you might want to also join us via an app or two. There are probably several of them out there that would be appropriate. But there's one called TuneIn Radio, and you can find WJNI and join us through that means as well. It is totally up to you. There's a lot of ways to be able to tune in and for us to find the answers to the questions that are on your heart. That is what we're wanting, and that's what we want to help you with, to find out what God has to say. Why? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hope and pray you will not expect or put your faith in us, or that you will just take our word for anything, but that you yourself will look into the Bible, find the answers for yourself, as we might be able to direct you to those verses, and then study them for yourself, so you will be putting your faith in God and not man. There in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, even Paul, as he wrote by inspiration, said, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again. So he repeats it by inspiration. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed, anathema, annihilated. That's what God, it wants to happen to Paul or an angel from heaven. So what would he want to happen to us if we were to say something that's not in God's word? Well, you're right there. And what would he, if we put our faith and trust in our relatives? We have a saying today, mama don't tell no lie. Well, if we put our faith in mom and your mom might happen to be contrary to what the Bible says, you see the point. We've got to see it for ourselves, because when we stand before God, I'm not going to be holding your hand. Your mama's not going to be holding your hand. We're going to be before God alone. So it behooves us to know what God says himself, to show ourselves approved unto him. So this program is called Let the Bible Speak. So if we, in talking live with someone, we detect that that is not the direction that we're going to let God have the answer, then we will interrupt and try to let you know this is Let the Bible Speak. And thus, we do not want to be heard ourselves. We want everyone to hear what God has to say in his word. So with that in mind, the lines are now available. The lines are now open. Now's your chance to call in your question at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. Again, that's 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. I believe we have a question left over from last week, don't we?
Correct. We have James who called in this question last week. And what happened with James's question is, as many of you consistent listeners know, that many times towards the end of the broadcast, the phone lines start to pile up and questions come in and they start filling in. And we do our best to give the answers to the questions as soon as possible. But, of course, we don't want to shortchange anyone. And we do try to give the good scriptures to your answers. But sometimes when your questions are called in too many at the end of the broadcast, we're not allowed to get to everyone. And so we have to start the program with the next week. So hopefully James is listening to this and hear his question from last week. Says, does a child need to be baptized when they are born? Is it biblical? Well, in terms of what God's word says about children being baptized, there are no records of any children being baptized in God's word. When we look at the book of Acts, when you study the book of Acts, that contains all the instances where someone was saved or converted. And they all include baptism, but what you'll find is none of them mention children. Now, there are some who may argue that the fact that in Acts chapter 10, well, Cornelius' household, they say, oh, well, children was in Cornelius' household too. Well, we have absolutely no record of that. And nowhere in Acts chapter 10 does it say there were children in Cornelius' household who were baptized. So we can't assume that. What we can do is look at God's word, and we notice that there is nowhere in God's word that a child, as far as a toddler, an infant, was baptized on when they were born. And to make note of that, we go to 1 Peter chapter 3, where we'll see an interesting passage and the language that the Holy Spirit used when this was inspired. The words that he says will show you if it makes sense to even baptize children. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we see, starting in verse 20, talking about the old times, it says, who formerly were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. So with Noah and the flood, there were 8 souls that were saved through water. See, he makes that point in verse 20 that 8 souls were saved through water. The very next verse says there is also an antitype or a symbol which now saves us, namely baptism. But it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, that baptism, it has to be through faith. It has to be from faith. Just because you go and get baptized, if you didn't do it for the right reason, in response and obedient act towards God, then that baptism is invalid. That baptism means absolutely nothing. You're not saved. But it says it has to be the answer of a good conscience towards God. So ask yourself, can a toddler, a baby, a newborn, when they are baptized, or just if they're dunked underwater, or just because someone sprinkles some water over a baby's head, did that baby have a good conscience towards God? No, we can't say that that baby had a good conscience towards God, and they did that in obedience. And so we see that the point that the scriptures make in terms of baptism. Once again, that's the book of Acts. You can study through that, and you'll see all the conversion points that were mentioned. Everyone, it always includes baptism. We don't see that being done to newborns, toddlers, or anyone at young age. We see it was an answer of a good conscience towards God.
They might want to look at Ezekiel chapter 18 as well, talking about the soul that sins shall die. And so they've got to be old enough to sin against God before they can literally sin against God. And so just read the whole chapter of Ezekiel chapter 18. It's time for us to take our first break. We do want you to know we're continuing our offer this week to share with you a DVD and a Bible reading schedule for 2013. If you would like to read through the book read through the Bible in 1 year, either just the New Testament or Old Testament, there's three different ways that you can do this. And so they're all on this Bible reading schedule. So be sure to call the operator standing by for this schedule. And we're going to send you a DVD that is an overview and a Bible subject, a Bible study, to where that you will get a message there from God's Word, and the scriptures are shown up on the screen. You can watch this on your TV. It is free of charge. We're happy to send this to you. Don't miss out on this while we are offering it this month. So do not miss out on getting your DVD, the Bible reading schedule, and the Bible correspondence course. And so you can get that simply by calling the operator standing by with the details we're about to give you. So that number, if you want to go ahead and start calling, is 553-5157. And there's an operator standing by. She will take your information, and then we'll get this in the mail to you. By the way, the correspondence course that you'll be studying through, if in fact you choose to do this, you will learn things from God's Word that you may have never heard from the pulpit, never heard in church before. And by all means, if we're going to try to show ourselves approved unto God instead of to XYZ church, doesn't it make sense that we ought to know what God has to say? So let's go to His Word and go ahead and enroll in this course, study through it. You will discover things in it that you very well may have never heard before. Don't miss out on this opportunity. So all three things will be sent to you in the mail simply by calling the operator standing by. That number again is 553-5157. If it's busy, just hang up, then hit redial. You'll be able to get through.
Oh, and Ricky, how much does it cost?
It is absolutely free.
Free? Yes. What do you mean free? How much is that?
That means it's twice what you paid the last time.
Oh, you know, but I didn't pay anything the last time.
That's right. It's free. So don't miss out. We're glad to send this to you. It's absolutely free. We'll never ask you for a donation or a contribution of any kind. It is our honor to give you the treasure in God's Word. So go ahead and start calling now, 553-5157. If you've already received this information, then we're waiting on your question to be called into the radio station right now. The number here, the voice line, is 308-9564. You will be the first one through if you call right now, 308-9564. That's the voice line here. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, we do appreciate all those who are listening to the program, those of you who listen consistently and have your questions coming in, and we're trying our best to answer those questions. And we just want you to know how serious we are about those things that we're offering. You know, many times people say, oh, I have a New Year's resolution, and, you know, when the new year comes, I want to be healthier, and, you know, I want to take care of my body better. And, oh, yeah, you know what, I need to make sure I'm trying to get right with God. I want to study the Bible more. I want to go to church more. I want to pray more. You know, those things that we don't need to wait to the new year to do. And God offers us a brand new day where we can renew our commitment to Him every single time He blesses us to wake us up. We need to take advantage of those things. Please take advantage of those things with the Bible the correspondence course that we're offering, with the DVD, the Bible reading throughout the course of 2013, all those things we're offering. If you call the operator standing by, 553-5157 is the number to get those free, absolutely free materials. Don't think just because we're offering three things today that somehow we're going to charge you or something. It's absolutely free. We will not charge you for anything. We truly want to just be able to help you out in those things and your quest to get to know God better. But if you have a question and you want to reach us here at the station, go ahead. We still haven't gotten any calls for today. You will be the first one if you dial 308-9564. 308-9564 to reach us here at the station. And our text line, we've had our first text question Ricky's about to get to. Our text line is 725-9283.
So go ahead and take advantage of it right now while the lines are available. 308-9564 is the voice line. We have Deborah calling in or texting in this question. Says, is it wrong to pray for money? Well, Deborah, let me give you a few passages of Scripture, and this will have more to do with our heart and attitude than anything. The first passage is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry nothing out. And then notice very carefully the next verse where he says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. And so it's there. What's interesting here is this promise here that he says, be content with this. As long as we have food and as long as we have clothing, with that we should be absolutely satisfied, content. And then he gives a warning. He says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For, and he even explains why, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. Well, he kind of spelled it out pretty clear there. And so food and raiment, clothes and food is what should make us satisfied with this life. After all, isn't that all that Jesus had? He had clothes on his back. He had food and he was content with that. He didn't have a roof over his head. Matter of fact, he didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. And he was happy as can be, matter of fact, full of joy. And has continued to bring joy to the world to this day. Well, see, what problem? Remember what we just read there, that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which calls men to stray from their faith in greediness. It gives us all kind of harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction. You see, our attitude is what is of concern. Now, not only 1 Timothy 6, go ahead and write down and read Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, God brings out a number of things again about having food and raiment, food and clothing, and that we should not even worry about that. He says, do not be anxious about these things. After all, these things the Gentiles worry about. But if we will just seek God first, verse 33, all these things will be added into us. So go ahead and read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. Let me read verse 34 to show you how powerful God is about this warning. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So if you want troubles, well, then maybe we shouldn't be so concerned about anything other than food and clothing, because that's just going to bring us destruction and in perdition and all kind of things. And so if we've got more than food and clothing, what we should be doing is just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now back in to 1 Timothy chapter 6, he does address those that have more than just food and raiment. And beginning with verse 17, he says, command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, there is what we should be praying about. If we've got more than food and clothing, we should be praying about, how can I share this with others? How can I be rich in good works, willing to share? That's what we should be praying about. So, Deborah, I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, those passages were Matthew 6, 19 through the end of the chapter, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6, and you might as well go to the end of the chapter there too as well, because both of those are powerful passages dealing with our attitude and our desires for more in this life. Thank you so much for your question very much. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJ-N-I. Remember, we're still offering the DVD Bible reading schedule along with the correspondence course, so don't miss out on enrolling in these today. 553-5157, and we will be glad to send those to you free of charge in the mail. Before we go to the next break, I think we have another question. While we remember, you can go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck, you've got a question?
Yeah, JJ calls in his question, and his question says, the Great Commission, is it still in effect? Is it for the church or for individuals? And how is it to be done today? Well, that's a great question, JJ, and that's we have a various answers. First, the Great Commission is let me paint this picture for you. Jesus, it was after he had risen from the dead, and he was about to go back up into heaven, and so he was around his disciples, and he was about to leave them physically. He was about to leave them, and so he had the last thing he said to them was what we call this Great Commission, which is in Matthew chapter 28:18-20, Mark chapter 16:15-16, and Luke chapter 22:46-47. So let's think about this for a second. If you were on your deathbed and you were surrounded by your loved ones, your closest family, your closest friends, you're surrounded by these people, what would you tell them? Wouldn't you tell them the things that are most important to you, the things that you want them to do, the things that you want them to remember that has a lasting effect on them? Well, I think that picture might be appropriate to paint when we start thinking about what Jesus said to them in this Great Commission, knowing that this is going to be the last thing he said to them straight face to face physically until they were to see him spiritually. And he told them in Matthew 28, his account, Matthew says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark's account says, go preach the gospel to every creature. He says, every creature who believes and is baptized will be saved. Luke's account says, repentance and remission of sins should be taught to all. So he says that in multiple places that it's going to be for all. This gospel message was for all nations, for everyone. If we look over at Acts in chapter 1, in verses 1 through 3, we'll see Luke is writing here, former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. And after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible truths, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is his people, is his church. And we also see in verse 2 where he says he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he gave these commandments to the apostles. So you might say, oh, well, the Great Commission, that was only for the apostles. Well, if you study the rest of the book of Acts, you'll see that those apostles, they went out and they taught others, and they continued this message, and they continued passing it on and spreading on. This gospel message is for everyone. It was supposed to be for everyone. God made it for everyone. He did it for everyone. So we are supposed to, we're all supposed to spread it. First of all, you can't spread it until you learn it yourself. First, we have to learn it ourselves, and then we go out and spread it to the point where in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where Paul says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And then over in Philippians 3:17 and 4:9, we talked about to follow his example. And so we're supposed to follow his example, and what we're supposed to do is spread this gospel message. So how is this supposed to be done today? Well, the same way it was done back then. Mouth to mouth, person to person, face to face. It's the spoken word, logos. It's supposed to be a spoken message that we are supposed to be doing this with. And it is going to have the same effect now if we have the same diligence that they had back then. You think they didn't have all the internet and email and great kind of communication and telephones that we have, yet they preached the gospel to the whole world. We see that in Colossians chapter 1, where it says that in verse 6, it says, to which it has come to you as also in all the world, bringing forth fruit. So this gospel went out into all the world without all the great communication and phone calls and emails and things that we have. So this message, this gospel message, it is for everyone. And yes, it is supposed to be done today the same way it was back then, face to face. We are going to our next break. And
yeah, I just wanted to remind people that you can get the DVD free of charge today. If you would like to enroll, be sure to call the operator standing by right now at 553-5157. And we'll be glad to send that to you along with a Bible reading schedule and the correspondence course. Here are the details on that. But please know, while we are at break, you can continue to call in your question at 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live and want to just continue to encourage you. If you are going to get us tired, you're going to get tired of hearing us encouraging you to do that. But we really want as many of you to call in and get that Bible reading course for the year 2013. That's assuming we can be able to continue to encourage you in doing that. So that Bible reading for 2013, that CD about the gospel and being able to help you with that. And of course our normal Bible correspondence course, which we also offer. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. Keep her real busy today.
Concerning the question that you were just talking about, Chuck, there, I wonder sometimes if people are thinking when they're asking a question of church versus God, or is it just the individual's responsibility? So there's a lot of people that have a concept that the church is who we should be following. And if the preacher doesn't say it, or the church doesn't say it, or the Pope doesn't say it, well, then it's not that important. And as we were talking during break, how that is just so foreign to what the Bible says, because when God tells us something, he is the head of the church. You know, Christ is the head of the body. And if those of you that are out there can just imagine, look down at your hand right there in front of you and imagine you get stung by a bee. And immediately you see that bee on your hand. Your left hand is going to come and or the other hand is going to come and sweep that off and try to get rid of that bee as quick as possible. Well, that's because we work together in unity, and your brain is what controls all of that. Well, that is the picture that God gives of the church. And so Christ is the one that's in charge of all of his people. And so he even shows the ridiculousness of this kind of idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If the hand says to the eye, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, well, how stupid is that? And it is so foreign that we can't, you know, just one part of the body or the body just be separate from the head and it come up with its own authority to do this or that. We all are subject to Christ. He's going to sort it all out in the end. He's going to be the judge. And if we don't listen to him, whether we're part of his church or not part of his church, he's going to have the final say.
So in terms of it being the church's responsibility or individual responsibility, both.
Yeah, because the church is made up of the individuals that belong to Christ. And the local congregations, they have no no authority other than what Christ says. And so, again, it's not a matter of an institution having any kind of authority. Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. And that was the first verse you went over there, and that that's the way he started this mission of ours. And it's not a matter that we can come up with anything different or divert it in any way. And so we've got to listen to him and to him only. And so very good answer. And thank you for the question. I don't know that we've had that actual question come in before. And we get excited whenever we hear a new question and it challenges us. So thank you so much for your call and your question. Again, the lines are now available, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. And we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. And we have a couple of text questions here, and I think you've got one that called in.
I do. John chapter 10. Kim calls in this question about John chapter 10. Verses 34 through 36, and it says, the question is on when he says men are gods. Is he referring to prophets? Who is he referring to? So let's look over at John chapter 10, and hopefully we can be able to understand what the context here is talking about. It's really important to, you know, try as best we can to, you know, let the verses stay in context. And usually, when I say usually, I mean, you know, almost all the time, the context will bear out what the meaning of it, the saying is. So in John chapter 10, in verse 34, well, we'll start in verse 31, because that's where the bold number is, and the bold number means that's where new paragraph started. So in verse 31, John chapter 10, it says, then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If you do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So the section that you were, caller Kim, was asking about was a quote from Psalms chapter 86, chapter 82, verse 6, where Jesus quotes that. But see, once again, when we look at the context, we'll see that Jesus was making the point that the Pharisees here are trying to say that he blasphemed. And by saying he is God, and they say you make him out to be God. And Christ points out, well, even in your own law, it is written, you are gods. And then he goes on and starts talking about the works that he does. Those miracles that he were doing, that should have proved to them that he was the Son of God. And they were trying to ignore the works. They were ignoring him and they were ignoring the works, which is what he says. If I don't do the works, then don't believe me. But if I do, then you should believe me. So the point he's making here really is trying to get them to focus on the works that he was doing, the miracles that he was doing to prove that he was the Son of God. Would that be correct, Ricky?
I think that's right. And another thing from that passage I think is very interesting. I don't know if everyone noticed that or not, but Jesus calls the Psalms the law. A lot of times I hear people say, well, you know, we're supposed to sing psalms today. Well, here Jesus himself calls the psalms the law. And thus that, as far as being a law for us to follow today, that itself was also nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14. So I think that's an interesting point while we were there to not miss out on as well. Thank you very much for the question, though, and we sure do appreciate it. And we have a caller calling in through texting. Is it okay for Christians to play the lottery? Well, what we see in God's word is that the Lord tells us that we can and that we should have an income. And the income is to come through various means. We can work for our money, Ephesians chapter 4, that we work with our hands that which is good that we may have to give to others. The Bible speaks of having gifts that we can receive, giving gifts to one another, and that is a way to have increase as well. He also shows us that we can discover something, the parable that Jesus told about the pearl of great price, Matthew 13:46. He also speaks of that we can invest and have income as well, or interest income. In the story of the talents, we see that he rebuked the one talent man, said he should have even put it to the bankers with that he might receive it with interest, so therefore he condones that form of increase. And then another where we can see it's condoned in the Old Testament, New Testament, that of inheritance. But what we don't see in all the various ways that God says that we can and should get increase as far as financial prosperity, there is no such thing as pooling money together and then drawing out for one person to win the lot. And thus, that is just not in the Bible at all. So that's one thing that's not condoned. But as far as causing people to get hurt through a process, that goes totally against as well what is condoned in the Bible. Matter of fact, we should, he even says in 1 Corinthians, that we should even be defrauded to keep from hurting someone or causing someone pain when you, rather than going to law or causing hurt, our attitude should be that we should just take the harm. And so the whole attitude of Christ's likeness goes against the lottery. I hope that's been helpful to you. And so there's at least five ways the Bible talks about that we can get increase. But in all the ways that it talks about, the lottery are games of chance to where that there's a winner and a loser. It is not condoned or brought out at all in God's Word. So hopefully that has been helpful to you. We really do appreciate the question very much.
We have another text question. Text is in this question by sending it in to 725-9283, which is the text line. And if you feel like you want to call in your question, you'd rather do that. The lines are open. We've only had a few calls today. So go ahead and call in at 308-9564, 308-9564, to call and have your question written down and brought into us. You will be next in line. You will be next in line if you go ahead and call 308-9564. But the text line is 725-9283, and that's where this question came in from. The last three digits of this person's call are 342, and their question says, what is the true meaning for when it says, do not be unequally yoked? Well, that language is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So we see that in there in the context he's talking about believers and unbelievers. And so also we have to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when he's talking about the marriage and how the one spouse may be a believer and the other may not. And he says that if the unbeliever is willing to live with them, do not depart with them. So can we necessarily say that being unequally yoked with unbelievers, does that have to be talking about a marriage relationship? Well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, not necessarily, because he's mentioning a believer and a non-believer being married in that case. So is it, if it's not talking about relationships in unequally yoked, then what specifically is he talking about? Well, he says have no fellowship. Fellowship meaning joint participation or mutual participation. Now, we think about a believer and a non-believer, they're going to want to participate in different things. If we look over in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so those unbelievers, people who are unbelievers, they set their minds on physical, carnal, earthly things. We are, if we're a believer, then a believer isn't just someone, a believer in their head. A believer is a believer who lives a certain way because they believe. Their belief causes them to live a certain way. So being unequally yoked, having mutual or that joint participation or fellowship with an unbeliever, we're participating in things that they enjoy because they're lost. They're not thinking of godly spiritual things. They're thinking of fleshly things to fill their fleshly desires and fleshly lusts. We, as believers, cannot be unequally yoked with them. We can't be joining and have that participation, that fellowship with them when they're doing those sinful acts. And I can see how some people do apply that to the marriage relationship or to a, you know, dating type relationship. And while that, you know, that probably could be a good way to think about it, you might not want to be dating someone who, if you are unequally yoked with them as far as you're thinking about spiritual things and they're thinking about fleshly things. So it's really comes down to what a person individually is going to be able to apply that to. But when he's talking about unequally yoked there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he was talking about there those are believers and unbelievers. So we have to be careful with that. To join us here at the station, 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564, to have your question written down to us, or you can ask them in the air if you would like. 308-9564 is the question line here at the station, or you can text in your question to 725-9283.
It is your choice, and the lines are now available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart and on your mind. We'll go directly to the Bible. We have Ben calling up right now. Did we just miss a break? I think we just did. Let's go ahead and go to break before Ben's question. And by the way, those of y'all that are wondering, it's dealing with the tribulation in John chapter 16 and verse 33. You can be turning in your Bible, and we'll go there right after the break. Please know that we have a free DVD Bible reading schedule that we are glad to send to you free of charge. And so go ahead and call the operator standing by. Here's the details on that. Even while we are at break, if you've already called for that free packet of information, go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, we do appreciate everyone for their questions. The questions are starting to roll in. We got about 30 minutes or so left in the program, and so please continue on to get your questions and get them in now while the lines are open, so you don't have to get your question filled up. The questions always fill up like they do at the end of the station. At the end of the program, coming to the station. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here, 308-9564, to get your question written down and brought into us, or you can ask them on the air if you'd like, 308-9564. The lines are open. Go ahead and get your questions in now, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have Ben calling in this question. Ben, thank you so much. You're a longtime listener, and we are so thankful of your desire to know the truth, and we appreciate your question every time it comes in. Ben's question is taken from John chapter 16 and verse 33, and he's wanting to know this tribulation here, what does it mean here? Well, let's read the passage in John chapter 16, and beginning with verse, 33, it says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." His question is, what is this tribulation here that's under consideration? Well, the actual word, Ben, literally means anguish or burdened or trouble. And so he says, in the world, you're going to have anguish and trouble and be burdened, but I have come to give you peace. And so, and that is so very true. When we look at this world, and the further, just for example, us as a nation right now, the further away that God is put away from our schools, from our lives, from our homes, is that making this world and our schools and our homes a better place? Yeah, I agree. It is not making it a better place. It is actually making it a more wild, untamed, dangerous place. And I think we all know what I mean. This is visible every single time whenever God is pushed aside, and there's a campaign in this nation right now to remove everything, every idea about God. And the more we shove God out the door, the more man is going to act like animals. And when you look and see what's going on in the animal world, just go to the Nature Channel and see how they video what goes on in Africa among the animal kingdom. And you look and see how vicious and ferocious it'll be. Why does it surprise us when we start believing that we're nothing but more trained animals, that we are surprised when people start behaving like animals? Well, the truth of the matter is, of this world, that's what we're going to get. But if we will turn to God, if we will consider His way, He is the Prince of Peace. And He is the one that will lead us toward peace. And if we can just learn to depend upon Him and cast our cares upon Him, well, Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again, I say, rejoice. He goes on to say, if we have cares and anxieties and problems, that we can pray about those things and in everything cast our care upon Him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, but then he says, do it with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all comprehension will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if we will just learn to do that and quit trying to just put God out the back door and just ignore Him as if He doesn't exist, well, obviously, it's going to be moving away from peace. It'll actually be moving toward tribulation, just like you mentioned there, Ben. And it goes on to say in verse 9, the things that you have seen and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See, not once, but all through the New Testament, we see that He truly is the Prince of Peace. It was not a matter of things that He possessed that gave Him that peace, or even a position in some kind of corporation or big time money or a lot of prosperity. It was being right in the eyes of His Father. And that same kind of righteousness, that is, we do what God says is right, will give us the kind of peace, and it will give us the ability to handle any kind of persecution that may come our way. Now, I think I'm going to do something after your next question, and I'm going to go ahead and ask the question and give people time to think about it, and then we'll go to the Bible for the answer. I don't think I ever come up with a question, but here's one. How should we react? Here's my question. We're going to get to it in a second. How should we react whenever the world, something catastrophic happens, and everybody is aghast at it? And people say, well, where was God in this? Or how can God allow this to happen? And people think, well, this is something new. That's nothing new. We're going to see that happen even in the time of Jesus. And we're going to look and see how Jesus Himself reacted to those situations in the first century. So stay tuned. Be thinking about what your answer would be, and then we'll go to the Bible for the answer in just a moment. But, Chuck, I think you've got another question here, don't you?
Yes, and we have a similar question, too, that a text in there is their last three digits is 046. And their question says, if there's a person who chooses to live in sin, harming innocent people, and if that person becomes saved on their deathbed, are they able to go to heaven? If they can, is that fair? So, first of all, I want to just kind of make augment kind of the question a little bit. The phrase, you know, become saved on their dying bed. I'm assuming that means in the time, you know, maybe a short period of time, days, weeks, or months before they die, they become saved before then. I don't take that to mean literally, you're on your bed dying and you're about to take your last breath and then you die. Because if a person isn't saved by the time they're on their literal, if you're meaning that term dying bed literally, as in terms of lying on a bed about to take your last breath, a person can't be saved if they're not already saved. They have to, if they could arise and be baptized and give their life to Christ right then they die right after they're baptized. And I guess that would apply. So for the sake of argument, I'm gonna take the term to mean a few weeks or so before they die. Are they able to go to heaven? Meaning the term of, they're choosing to live in sin. Well, you know, we must recognize that, first of all, every single one of us deserves to die. And every single one of us, as far as deserving to die, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, what we earn by our sin is death, eternal spiritual separation from God. We earn that when we sin. Every single one of us. So one sin is not bigger than another sin. We may feel like that, but to God, all those sins are equal. And to show you that, we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, past tense, and such were some of you. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so in terms of if that person goes to heaven, is that fair? Well, nothing's fair. God's grace is not fair. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve God's mercy. Every single one of us, because of our sin, we deserve that eternal spiritual separation from God. So is it fair? No, it's not fair. It's not fair how we treat God and not give him our 110% absolute all every single day of our lives. That's not fair. None of us deserve heaven. There's nothing any of us can do to deserve heaven. However, we must obey Christ's gospel. We must obey him. We must be baptized into Christ. If we're not in Christ, we're not going to obtain salvation, because salvation is only in Christ. Christ is where salvation is at. So we must be in Christ to be saved. And that doesn't make us special just because we obey. We have to be in Christ because Christ is the special part. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We are having to go to our next break. Even while we're at break, you can call in your questions. We're offering the DVD and the Bible reading course, and of course the correspondence course as well. We're offering that. We're going to be telling you some information about that. But even while we're at break, call in your questions to 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
The correspondence course is going to be along with a DVD and a Bible reading schedule. So don't miss out. If you've never enrolled in the course, now's the time to not only get the correspondence course, which you'll learn things that you may have never heard before, never learned before, that have been in the Bible the whole time. I don't think I've ever gone to a Bible study with someone where they said, you know, I've never seen that before. How is that possible that it's been in the Bible the whole time? So don't miss out on finding what God says rather than what man has been feeding us all these years. Then we're going to give you a correspondence course, a DVD, and a Bible reading schedule. Don't miss out on getting these by calling the operator standing by. 553-5157 is the number. But now if you have a question, here's our next, got two segments left, but less than 30 minutes. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, Kim called a follow-up question. Kim, thank you for calling up this question and clarifying it. I apologize if I didn't answer it clearly enough. But the question Kim says is on marriage, what does the Bible clearly say to do if an unbeliever separates from a believer? Well, that's real easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 10 through 16. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 10 through 16. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Kim. We can study that and go over that and try to apply that as best you can. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 16.
Yes, we have Latalo calling in this question. They wanted to know about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and suicide. Are these the only two unforgivable sins? Well, I think probably you're referring to unforgivable sin is the what Jesus referenced in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Therefore, I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy the Spirit will not be forgiven men. The truth is that is absolutely true. However, I would encourage you to understand that how we can blaspheme the Holy Spirit is not like just saying, okay, I'm going to accept everything except the Holy Spirit. But if we slight what the Holy Spirit says in any way, then we become blasphemy of it. We are ignoring, we are belittling, we are against what the Holy Spirit has given us. And why is that so disastrous if we do that? Well, the Holy Spirit is the last messenger that God has given to man today. And he operates through his word. And if we ignore his word in any way, thus not repenting, then we are in trouble with God. And this fits right into what the question I asked a few minutes ago. And that is, what's the problem? How come there are so many things in this world? And if Jesus were here today, how would he react to some of these catastrophic things happening where people are being killed, where people are being committing suicide, and all kind of things that are appalling in the eyes of man and the population of the world today? Well, the same thing kind of things were happening in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 13, it brings out that there were present at that season some who told him, that is Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices. Oh, That was sacrilegious. That was horrible. That was the worst thing that could have been done. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He takes this headline news of his day, turns it around, and points it to those whom he's talking to and says, hey, you better examine yourself, because if you do not repent, you're going to likewise perish. And then he brings up another news item in verse 4. Are those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What is the point that is being made here? Whenever we see the brevity of life, this how fragile these bodies are that we live in, how quickly life that can be snuffed out of these bodies, and thus we depart from this existence, we better pay attention, because that should cause us to understand we're going to answer to God. We've got to show ourselves approved to him. We should not be putting all the attention in the here and now that man does, especially we here in the United States. We should be casting our hearts, our thoughts, our investment in the eternal and not in the things that we can see and taste and touch. We should be preparing for heaven and being with him. And so whenever these catastrophes occur, they happen just like that in the New Testament, probably more so, they should remind us how truly fragile this existence is, and that we better be prepared to meet our God. Well, Jesus put it this way, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So let's be ready to meet our Creator, no matter we're in the middle of those catastrophes or they are some distance away. We have got to show ourselves approved to God. So if people blaspheme or ignore or go against any of God's word and they're not repenting, then they are shunning to listen to God. Well, let's use the language you use there. They're blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the last messenger. If we ignore him, there's not another one coming. Thus, this is the last days. We better pay attention and listen to him alone. And thus, we've got to learn what God says. Let God speak through his word. We must let the Bible speak. The number, 308-9564. Hurry and get your question in, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a text question whose last three digits are 342. Thank you for texting your question. And that text line is 725-9283. 725-9283. Or if you don't want to text, you can call in your question. Feel free to do that at 308-9564. It's 308-WJNI. To reach us here at the station, 308-9564. Their question, this texter says, my mom is a Jehovah's Witness and they go around Jesus to praise the Father. Are they wrong? Yes. And she believes people who are not Jehovah's Witness will go to hell. Well, she's wrong. And what I do or say because I have tried everything. Well,
Chuck, did you just answer that yourself?
No, well,
don't you think you ought to turn to the Bible to get that answer?
You know what, Ricky? Thank you for correcting me. I'll do that.
All right.
So let's go ahead and we'll find out exactly what God says, because this program is not called Let Chuck Speak. It's called Let the Bible Speak, because if it was called Let Chuck Speak, it'd be longer than an hour and 30 minutes. So let the Bible speak on their question. John chapter 14, verse 6. So Jehovah's Witnesses, they go around Jesus to praise the Father. Is that possible? Can they do that? According to John 14:6, we'll let you answer the question. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, how can Jehovah's Witness go around Jesus to praise the Father when Jesus himself said, no one gets to the Father except through me? Let's just think about that for a second. It doesn't make any sense, does it? No, it doesn't. Also, there's many other passages that talk about through Christ and in Christ. In Ephesians, the first three chapters is mentioned a lot. But also, one other scripture we want to look at is in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 8, talking about Christ, it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9 is key. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So we obey Christ. We obey his gospel. We live by his New Testament commands, his New Testament, his new covenant. But we obey that. We live by him. He is the author of our eternal salvation. So we can't, no religious group, we can't skip Jesus to get to the Father. We just cannot do that. Because if we do that, we're in violation of what Jesus said in John 14:6. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as there's many other scriptures. Look through Ephesians first three chapters. But the scripture we looked at was Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, and also John chapter 14, verse 6. To reach us there at the station, 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564, to call in your question here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283.
We're about to go to our last break, and we want to let you know of the free information that we are giving out, and that would include a DVD that you watch on your television set. And let me encourage all of y'all that have already gotten this, dozens and dozens of you, we want you to know that we are happy to send this to you, and it is absolutely free. We'll never ask for a handout or a contribution at all. As a matter of fact, it's our joy to be able to share with you. But take that DVD and watch it. And have your remote handy. If you're a man, that's no problem because man holds on to it. But if you're a woman, have it handy and be ready to pause it so you can look up those scriptures and make certain whether those things are so. And so, again, don't miss out on getting this. We're glad to send you that along with the Bible reading schedule and the correspondence course. So don't miss out on that. The number is 553-5157. You've got about 15 minutes left, so go ahead and call to get this in the mail to you even tomorrow, 553-5157. If the phone is busy, just hang up and then wait a second or two and then hit redial, and you'll be able to get through, 553-5157. This is our last segment, so go ahead and call in your questions as well. And that is 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. And one other way you can join us is through texting at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We do want you to know that this is our last segment, so go ahead and call in your questions right now at 308-9564. We have Steve pacing back and forth, just waiting on the phone to ring. So go ahead and call in your question right now. Every question we'll do our best to get to before the end of the broadcast. So call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Don't miss out on the free packet of material, by the way. Don't miss out. We got 15 minutes, so go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157, 553-5157, and we'll get that in the mail to you tomorrow. Chuck?
Yes, the lines are open, 308-9564. We got about 10 or so minutes left. Please go ahead and get your questions in. Like we mentioned, we started off the program today with James's question because it was left over from last week. Because many calls came in towards the end of the broadcast and we weren't able to get to James' question. So we had to start the program off this week with that question. So hopefully you don't have to go through that. Go ahead and call in your question. The lines are open. They are clear. Go ahead and call in 308-9564. Get your question in as soon as possible while the lines are open before anything fills up. Like it usually does. 308-9564, 308-9564. Go ahead and get your question in. Or you can text in your question. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question, and it kind of stumped me there for a moment. They wanted to know the meaning of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. And so let's look at the context. There's usually small context in the book of Proverbs, and so that's the way it is here as well. But notice in verse 32, it says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord." When I looked at other translations to see how they translated that as well, the lot is cast into the lap was true in all of them, except the elementary version. It says the thing that may be put to a decision of chance, it comes from the Lord. And so the whole statement is dealing with God has the right answer. We've got to put our trust in Him. Every decision is from the Lord. So what we need to do is to consult Him on everything that pertains to life and godliness from His Word. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 also backs this up that through the knowledge of Him, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So the decision really is, should be, if we will put our trust in Him, in the Lord, and thus we'll be able to walk in the peace and the harmony that God intended for us to have. Not like what we see demonstrating in the world right now. God wants us to have a life of peace and harmony and security that only can come from Him. So, yes, let us put our trust in Him, and He will direct our paths and not be ashamed of us on that day when we stand before Him in judgment. Well, again, the lines are now available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
Yeah, I wanted to go back, and I was mentioning there were scriptures that I also wanted to give in response to that question about being saved through Christ and can we go around Jesus somehow to get to the Father. And although I would be able just to stand on just John 14:6 and Hebrews 5 verse 9, I think the more verses you give to that person would help them, hopefully would help them to realize that since there's so many verses that talk about salvation being only through Christ, then maybe that should open their eyes more. So there's more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "For God has not destined us to receive wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For that reason I endure everything for the sake of those who have been chosen, so that they too may receive salvation that is in Jesus Christ, along with eternal glory." Then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "From infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." So there's many verses that talk about faith, talk about salvation being through Christ. Jesus, you cannot go around Jesus to get to the Father. John 14:6, Jesus says that, and there's many other verses. There's, like I said just now, there's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. There's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, and there's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So there are many verses that talk about salvation being through Christ Jesus. So I just wanted to give those. Once again, that was 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, 2 Timothy 2, 10, as well as 2 Timothy 3, 15, to go along with the first three chapters of Ephesians and John 14, 6, as well as Hebrews 5, verse 9. We have a few minutes left. The phone has not rung again, so if you have a question, you will be next in line, 3089564. We've got a few minutes left. We got some time, 3089564, to call in your question, 3089564.
We have a texter calling in this question. Again, go ahead and call. Those of you that don't have a cell phone, go ahead and call now your question in at 3089564. That line is available. Their question is, the text question is, does the Bible support Christmas? Well, that's a good question, especially during this time of year. What we see in the New Testament is there is no reference to it. That's exactly right. It's just not in the Bible at all. Christmas is not in the Bible. That was an invention of man that evolved over hundreds of years to become what it is even right now in the United States. It is different in different places around the world. It is totally a custom of man. There have been religious organizations that have spiritualized the representation of Christmas, but there is nothing in the Bible at all about it being the birthday of Christ. We do not know when Jesus was born. If God had wanted us to know when he was born, then it would have been said. The only day that God gives us that we should are under instructions to remember is a day of the week, a day of the week that is given in the New Testament that is not even in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Jews were under command to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and that was on the seventh day of the week. We call it Saturday according to our calendar. But when you turn to the New Testament, we see a new day that is mentioned in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, it brings out that the saints of God were to gather together on the first day of the week. That would be every 7 days, Acts 20 and verse 7, to break bread or the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, that's when they were to take up the collection. And thus, that is limited to that day, only that day. What's interesting today is most churches will make the collection go together more than once a week, but when it comes down to the Lord's Supper, which is going to cost them something, well, they will diminish that to where it's once a month or once a quarter, once a year. And some churches don't ever partake of the Lord's Supper. But the New Testament church gathered by command of Christ in 1 Corinthians 11 that they were to commune with him, they were to remember the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and they did that every first day of the week, according to tradition as well. But if the verse in Acts 20 and verse 7 had said first day of the month, we know that would have been a monthly occasion. Or if it said first day of the year, we know that would have been a yearly occasion. But it didn't say year, did not say month, it said first day of the week. So that's the day the Lord wants us to remember, not his birth, but his death, his sacrifice for the remission of our sins, not because that he needs it. It's what we need. It is for our benefit. We gather together to do that.
We have a texter texting in this question. We got a few minutes left. Not sure if you'll be able to make it if you call in. But this texter's question says, what does the Bible say about illness? I am currently having difficulty dealing with a sick mother. Well, that's a good question, and do want to point out something here in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, before I go back, I want to preference the fact that in keeping with Galatians 5 verse 4, I'm not trying to go back to the old law to justify any means or practice. But what I'm just going to read is in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, which just doesn't necessarily seem to be a commandment or anything. Just seemed to be a virtual, just a truism, something that's just true compared to life in this earth. It's something that just we have to deal with. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. So in terms of our bodies and how we live on this earth, and there's a certain things genetically or certain things how we treat ourselves, time and chance happens to all. However, there's also James in the New Testament, there's James chapter 5 verses 13 through 15. So James chapter 5 verses 13 through 15 tells what to do in terms of someone who's sick.
And also, you might, while you're in Ecclesiastes, read chapter 12. The first part of chapter 12 describes what it means to grow old, and it describes in very colorful detail all of the problems of this body getting old and breaking down. And so that is a normal process. If you think about it, if everybody died in the middle of vigor of youth, well, nobody would want to leave this life. But when we reach the end and we're full of pain, then, yeah, there's got to be something better. And there is. Praise be to God. We have a hope of having a new body throughout eternity. It's time for us to end the program. We do want you to know this offer of the DVD and Bible reading schedule is free. We are happy to send this to you. Don't miss out on getting this. The number is 553-5157. The operator is standing by waiting for your call. We'll get this in tomorrow's mail, 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send this to you free of charge. Thank you for listening to us today. And please listen again next week as we let the Bible speak at the same time, 1:30 every Sunday afternoon, for 90 minutes of questions and answers from God's Word as we let the Bible speak.